Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
I want to read just a few passages of Scripture from the book of Joshua. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. You sing that when you're a kid. And the walls came tumbling down. Joshua was 40 years old when God released the children of Israel from Egypt. He was the oldest son in his family. And when, you know, many of you think when a minister, you're called to ministry, you go to Bible college, you already know your Bible. Well, you don't. And you start digging, and we found out that Joshua had no parents, according to Scripture. The Bible says very clearly he was the son of Nun, N-U-N. I know that's a little corny, isn't it? Where's the drummer? The children of Israel were coming out of the land of Egypt. Moses was the leader. Moses had died, and they went in and they conquered the promised land. And you say, preacher, I just don't understand why God would go in and give people houses they didn't build and vineyards they didn't plant, and because they were his people and it's his world. And God wanted a people. He wanted to show the world who he was. And he could do that through the commitment and the surrender of the people that belong to the sons of Abraham. Remember, Jacob had his name changed to Israel. That's why they're called Israel today, Israelites. Because he had favor with God and God blessed him. So here is Joshua. And let's read the scripture. I'm going to start reading with verse 11. And I think they had allergies. I mean, I don't know, but I've been studying the Bible since I was about 19 years old, and I'm 68 now, so that's a long time. And sometimes as you read things, you just pick up on them, and I don't know if you'd pick this up or not. Then you went over to Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. I mean, doesn't it sound like they have some kind of allergy? I'm sorry. And I delivered them into your hand. Yep, this is an uptown church. Welcome. I'm a downtown kid. I'm from a little town of 200 people. Sometimes it comes out real strong. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities of which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards of the olive groves which you did not plant. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the God of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you open our hearts and our minds to what is good for each of us. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I have met people that try to lead out of fear. I've had bosses in my life, and they try to make you afraid you're going to lose your job. They're dogmatic. They're prone to anger. They throw fits. Matter of fact, when I took a job as a district manager for Echo Corporation, my boss gave me a book, How to Manage Through Fear. And that's the way he did it. He didn't last very long. It works. You can get people afraid of you. You can blow up every time you're around, but your job will not last long because no one wants to be around you. You can do that as a father or a mother too, as you raise your children. You can make them afraid of you. So afraid that you can't love them, and as soon as they can get out of the house, they're going to take off. That is one way. The other, I've seen people that lead through guilt. They make people feel guilty. Well, you don't love me enough if you don't do this. You don't love me enough if you don't want to go there. Poor me, poor me, poor me. Oh, would you do this for me? You'd be such a doll. I read that somewhere. I couldn't even come up with that line. Help me out with this, would you? Make me so happy. It's guilt. You can lead your children through guilt, that they make them feel sad or hurt, or you're going to be hurt if they don't do what you want or do what they say. People also lead through manipulation and circumstances, and both those take on either fear or guilt. I want to talk to you today about what Joshua was talking about. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua was not only a great leader, and all parents want to be leaders, but he was a great follower. Just because he was alive meant he was a follower. Meant that his parents were followers of God, because remember when the death angel came through the land of Egypt? Killed the firstborn of every family, and he was the firstborn of the family. If they didn't put blood on the stoops of their door, the firstborn died. He didn't die. He was alive. And where the scripture tells us the first thing that someone does, sometimes it speaks very loudly of who they are. Moses said, he looked over at Joshua, who's about 40, and he said, I want you to take a group of people, I want you to go down and fight the Amorites. And he said, I will stand on the mountain and hold my staff up. And the Bible teaches as long as Moses held his staff up, they would win the battle. As soon as they put it down, they'd start to lose. Because what God was showing them, this is not you that's fighting, this is me that's fighting. And every family, if you're going to raise a family that's the right kind of family, you need God to not just help you, but you need God to control the circumstances around the things in the world that are going on. And that means that we must have our hands towards God. God said, the battle is mine. He said, you know, when you fought the Jericho, the walls fell down. I did that. You didn't do that. Every family, every boss, every leader goes through times when they come up against a wall like Jericho. There's no way to win. So many times we just throw up our hands and we quit. I read this week a minister that said, I was preaching the Bible and I mentioned a couple sins. They're mentioned in the Bible. I read the scripture and I mentioned this is wrong. He said, of course, one of the grandparents of one of the kids that I guess was involved in this type of behavior came to me and just threw a fit. And he said, so I resigned. I wanted to write to him, what? You quit? That's when you stand. That's when you allow God to take over. That's when you allow God to fight the battle. When you come to a wall, you don't stop. When you come to the Red Sea, you don't stop. God said, I opened the Red Sea for you. And here's Joshua as an old man, and he's saying, remember all the things that God did. And if you remember all the things that God taught your parents and your grandparents and all the activity that you saw God do, remember, you got to be all in for God, not just partway in. You got to give it all. Then he said, and some of you remember in the book of Numbers, Moses said, I want to take 12 spies and go in and spy out the land of Israel, the land that belonged to our fathers, the land that God has given us to show that he is real. And 12 men were chosen, and they went in as spies and spied out the land. Now, we know what the men said when they came back. They said, it flows with milk and honey. There's so much to eat. There's so many things there that, wow, but the armies are like giants. There's no way that we, as a people that's lived in the wilderness, eating manna from heaven, can go in and fight them. That's 12. 10 of them said that. The only names you remember are two, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, we can win because the battle's not ours, the battle's the Lord's. And they won because they realized the battle was not theirs, the battle was the Lord's. You know, in one battle, he sent hornets in and ran the people away. I'll tell you one thing, you don't need guns if you got hornets. You ever tried to tackle one of them? You can't even see them coming. They come out of the ground, they come out of the air, I mean, they come everywhere, and they'll knock you right down on your back if you hit one in your forehead. And he said, remember all those things that I've done. See, so many times we try to do it our way. We try to figure it out. And that's just human nature. That's just normal. But when we have the power of prayer and we know we have a God that listens, then nothing is impossible, the Bible says. I learned this a long time ago. If you're going to lead, take it from the orchestra leader. If you're going to lead, many times you've got to turn your back on the people to lead the orchestra. So our leadership and our direction doesn't come from here. Our direction comes from there. But the direction better come from there because everybody here can see there. Everybody sitting out here can hear that orchestra and see the orchestra. God needs people that are sold out for him, disciplined. Our model isn't Moses. It's Jesus Christ, the greatest servant leader that ever lived. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And for 2,000 years, what a fisherman. Eric, you're a good fisherman. But look what Jesus did when he said, I'll make you fishers of men. Men have been being caught all over the world and women for 2,000 years. You can't go into a city that you don't see a steeple with a cross on it pointing to Jesus Christ. But it takes work and it takes consistency and it takes dedication. If you want to raise your kids for God, let me tell you something that the devil's going to do. The first thing he's going to do is when they become teenagers, he probably won't attack you much when they're little. But when your kids become junior high and high school, the devil's going to do everything he can do, take your kids out of church. He's going to get them into some type of sports program. He's going to make them good at something that's right on Sunday morning during church. Or say, well, I don't have to worry about that. My kids aren't into sports. They aren't into anything. Goes on Sunday. Well, then he's going to give you a camper, a boat, a cottage on the lake. He will buy you. And if you hold out, you'd be surprised how much he'll give you. My daddy said one time, he said, I heard an old preacher preach when I was just a kid, and I never forgot it. Going to hell in a wheelbarrow. He said, you know, the devil will give you $1 million to go to hell, but some people just sell out for a wheelbarrow. They just take the... I'm going to tell you this story that I read. When I was fishing when I was a kid with my granddad, I had what's called a cane pole. Any of you fish with a cane pole? Eric, really? Cane pole. Cane pole's hollow on the inside, but they're as strong as steel. They have better structure than wood. They build houses with them all over the China and the Vietnam and those areas. Do you know, in China, they have this bamboo tree that it starts out as a real hard nut, really hard. And in order for it to do anything, you got to plant it in the ground, and every day you've got to water it and fertilize it. If you miss one day, it will rot and never grow. Every day you've got to go out and water it and fertilize it, water it and fertilize it, water it and fertilize it. You know how many days you have to do that? 5 years. Now, what if you did that? What if you had a bamboo tree you're going to plant and you put it in your yard? And you have neighbors looking in on the backyard and the side yards, and you go out and you water that and fertilize it. They watch you do this for about 3 months. What are you doing? Well, I'm raising a bamboo tree. Oh, you are. Third year, they'd think you was nuts. The fourth year would really be bad, and the fifth year. But after 5 years, that nut will crack and break open. And I want to read to you the, after 5 years, if at any time the watering or fertilizer process is stopped, the Chinese bamboo tree will die in the ground. But in that fifth year, the Chinese bamboo tree finally breaks through the ground, and in 6 weeks, it grows to 90 feet tall. That'll shut your neighbors up. It also shuts your neighbors up if you feed your kids the right things, and you talk to your kids the right things, and you pray with your kids. It may not look like it's doing anything, but when they take hold and they start to grow, the Bible says, when they old, they're not depart. You just can't give up. You can't give in. You can't quit. You can't stop. Joshua knew that people would grumble. He knew that people would be upset. But he found obedience and strength in following the Lord. Joshua said, you did not do it with your sword or bow. God opened that door. God opened that door for every one of you that come here to come through that door. And somewhere or another, God led you here. God led you here because he wanted to water you and fertilize you and get you on the right track. But you've got to accept this book, and you've got to accept the God of this book in order to grow. It can't be half. Joshua said, you can't just say, I want a little bit of God. I just want a tiny bit. Some women want their husbands to get saved just so they don't go out and carouse around, but not, and they want them to take out the garbage, but not to be in Bible study. And want to pray, actually pray. A fellow by the name of Wilbur Reed wrote this, and he said, it's called $3 Worth of God. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explore my soul or disrupt my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love other people, pick beets with the migrants. I want ecstasy. I don't want transformation. I want warmth from the womb, but not the new birth. I want about a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, say, please. In other words, I don't want God as a Lord. I just want him as a crutch. When I was in the Navy, there was this thing going around, and I was a Christian, and they said, Christians, they just need a crutch. No, it's not a crutch. It's a new birth. It's new knees, it's new hips, it's new hands, it's new arms, it's new legs, it's a new heart. It's real. It's true. It's for everyone. He said, but I won't worship. Choose this day if you're going to worship the idols that are over in the promised land, or you're going to serve God. We've got to make that choice sometime. Spurgeon said, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. How's your watering going? Fertilizing going? Same way at church attendance. You can't miss it. You got to have it. And when you miss it, you miss out. Those of you who are parents of teens, be careful the decisions you make, because you'll come back to church. Those kids won't. Today, our priorities have changed from when my mom and dad were teaching us. My mom and dad actually taught us that the best thing in life was a Christian life. Now we seem to be, even in the church, raising our kids to be rich young rulers rather than men and women of God. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, you are Lord of all or not Lord at all. Lord, there comes a day when we make a choice, and that's an eternal choice. And Lord, I pray that as the funeral we had this week and the couple we had last week and a couple the week before, that our families, when we go, can walk out of the cemetery and say, I know where they're at. And they can live on with strength and hope and peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray for our parents of our teens and our young people. Lord, I don't know what Satan's going to hit them with, but I know greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So, Lord, I pray a hedge around them, and I pray that you protect them. And, Lord, help this to be real. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.